Hi, this is Dr. Sampson Davis, Health and Survival Plan. I am Dr. Sampson Davis, and thank you again for joining me on this crusade, this mission of mine is to put your health in the front lines of your everyday life, but in a simple way, in a way that you can sort of wrap your arms around and make sense and not feel overwhelmed, because let's face it, a lot of what we hear at our doctor's office and when we go to the hospital is intimidating. It's confusing, it's misleading, and we need to find a way to simplify, and that's my mission here, is to simplify the process for you so that you can wrap your arms around it and digest it in a very easy way. So today, I'm really been thinking a lot about the great, the one and only, the greatest that once lived, Muhammad Ali. Float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. So as a parent, the question becomes, as a parent, do you allow your child to play sports? Do you allow your child to play sports that are very physical, that may lead to concussions or potential chance of head injuries? So as a parent, do I allow my child to play sports? Here's some stats and facts for you. Brain injuries in 2010, contributed to 2.5 million emergency department visits. 2.5 million. That is a lot of people. 2.5 million. And out of those 2.5, greater than 250,000 was hospitalized, kept in a hospital because of the severity of the head injury. It contributed to, in 2010, it contributed to 50,000 people dying from traumatic brain injuries. So this is something that you have to ask yourself. Do I allow my child to play sport? As a parent, what am I doing to safeguard my child? Over the past decade, from 2001 to 2010, we have seen traumatic brain injuries, concussions, head-related trauma increase in the hospitalizations. We have seen an increase in the emergency department visits, up to 70% increase. Up to 70% increase. That means almost double the amount of patients that we saw before 2000 has now presented themselves to the emergency department, almost double. So instead of seeing one, we are seeing twice as many in the emergency department from 2001 to 2010. Get this, in 2009, an estimated 250,000 children, and we're not talking about adults. There's one thing to have our adults on the front line, risking their lives, playing a sport or an activity that they love and being paid for handsomely. But it's another thing when we talk about our children, 250,000 age 19 and younger were treated in the emergency department, some of my emergency departments, from recreational related head injury sports. From 2001 to 2009, the emergency department saw an increase of almost, again, double, 60%, saw an increase of head related injuries 19 and younger. So as a parent, do I allow my child to play sports? You must monitor them and you must protect them. You must take steps to make sure that their safety is first. I know this sounds pretty simple because I'm a loving parent, you're a loving parent, and we always put our child's safety first, but are we doing more harm than good? Now getting back to Muhammad Ali, the great one. Muhammad Ali suffered from Parkinson's disease, and he battled for over 30 years. His onset of Parkinson's disease started in his 40s, and Parkinson's disease is a diagnosis of exclusion. In other words, I don't have a test that I can perform on you to diagnose you with Parkinson's. It's a accumulation of symptoms. So Muhammad Ali, you saw the tremors. That was one of the symptoms, the unintentional tremors where he shaked unintentionally because he could not control it because of the Parkinson's. He had the impaired movement. So when he walks, he had shuffled gait. And his speech, you talk about a guy that was poetic. Oh my goodness. Muhammad Ali was one of the most poetic people that we ever heard speak on a microphone. I mean, he was just as poetic as he was good as a boxer, as great as a boxer. So can you imagine the speech difficulties and how that had to affect him? Because mentally, he knew he could not speak as fast. But the Parkinson's was prohibiting him from speaking. So you see the tremors, the impaired movement, the speech difficulties. Muhammad Ali was diagnosed in his early 40s. Usually, we don't see Parkinson's onset until in our 60s. So there was probably some genetic component, but most importantly, get this, there had to be a link between the repetitive blows to the head that Ali suffered. As great as he was hit in the head several times. And back then in the 70s and the 80s, you would fight 15 rounds and there was rarely did the doctor stop the fight. So Ali would fight to the bitter end, just like warriors in the ring and blood and sweat and people and fans cheering him on. He would fight to the bloody end. But at the same time, he paid the price. Unfortunately, the hits that Ali took at the early stage didn't manifest itself until years later. And even in his last days of fighting, you could see the Parkinson start to set in or the traumatic brain injury, or what we call today, what we have come to know today as CTE. And so CTE stands for chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Now, what does that mean? Chronic means ongoing, long duration. Traumatic means some sort of blow to the head. Encephalopathy involves the brain, where there's some change in the mechanisms of the brain. So if you saw the movie Concussion, who was played by the great actor Will Smith, who was, he played a doctor named Dr. Bennett Omalu. Dr. Bennett Omalu developed CTE or discovered CTE from the football players. We have seen football players over time, when they start to retire, some of them become very volatile, forgetful, developmental delay, develop Parkinson's, develop anger, develop agitation, confusion, and some even take their lives. Even the great Junior Seau, who played for the San Diego Chargers, committed suicide. This was a big, boastful guy, very well-loved, handsome, family guy. Had everything in the world going for him, was very popular in San Diego, took his life as a result of CTE, as a result of chronic traumatic encephalopathy. The blows to the head over time caused Junior Seau and many other athletes to lose their ability to function in everyday world and to be aware that they are forgetful. Can you imagine looking at a simple color of orange and not being able to recall that color any longer because the injury to the brain has accumulated so much to the point that now dementia, Alzheimer's is setting in. I mean, it's almost as if you are regressing and you're spiraling down and there's nothing you can do about it. So as a parent, do you allow your child to play sports? You must monitor them and protect them. I have an 8-year-old who is very energetic, very active. I mean, this kid is a dynamo on the playground. He plays basketball, he plays soccer, he plays football, well, touch football. I don't allow him to play tackle football. He does martial arts, karate, but no contact to the head. I love football. I'm a big football fan. I'm a Cowboy fan, don't hold it against me. I know it's been many years. I go back to the days of when they were once great, and I remain faithful to that football team. I'm a huge football fan. Go to the Super Bowl, watch the playoffs, you name it. I'm there every Sunday. I plan my days around football. But as a parent, do I allow my child to play sports that involves potential head injury? And my answer is no, I don't. I don't. I allow them to get out and be active, basketball and swimming and sports that require less activity with blow-to-blow possibilities of the head colliding. But when it comes to him taking a chance of getting injured on that football field, I struggle with that, and therefore I don't allow him to play it. My fear is that if he starts to play it, he will love it, and will continue to want to play it, and then I will be grappling with what do I do at that point. So, all right, I think I got to take a pause here. I don't know if you can hear me. Okay, I saw. So, as a parent, do I allow my child to play sports that involve potential head-to-head collision? My answer is no at this point. And my fear is that my son will start to love this game of football, this game of mixed martial arts, this game of involving any boxing. So I limit his exposure to these sports, not because I don't enjoy them, because I fear the fact that he might enjoy them himself, and he may reach a point where he wants to play them actively full-time in high school and in college and on a professional level, who knows. And I already shared the statistics with you that there are over 2.5 million emergency departments each year related to head injuries, 250,000 plus hospitalizations. Younger than 19, we're seeing 250,000 kids alone showing up with head injuries. So we have to take precautions and we have to do what's necessary to protect our children. The movie Concussion, if you haven't seen it, go pick it up. Netflix it, download it, Amazon Prime it, whatever your source of connecting with the movies, make sure you watch it. It's a very insightful movie. Will Smith does a dynamite job. But this is a movie that, of course, the NFL may not want you to see. I hope it goes underneath the carpet. And the reason why is because the NFL is a billion-dollar industry. It makes over $1 billion a year. So to really bring this home to you, to really paint this for you, let me share a personal story. And keep this in mind as I go into this personal story of a patient I took care of. As a parent, do I allow my child to play sports? You must monitor them and you must protect them. So I had a young 16, 17-year-old come into my emergency department. You know I do emergency medicine. And so I was on trauma call that night. And the young guy was out, just got a brand new car, joyriding. And like most 17-year-olds, sometimes they have to be reminded to not only clean their room, but to wear their seatbelts. Unfortunately, Jacob had a car accident. He crashed and went through the windshield. And he showed up in my emergency department unresponsive. I was able to bring him back because at that age, the heart is a strong force. I mean, 17 years old, you're talking about a brute of a force of a young man who showed up healthy otherwise, who was unresponsive from his head injury. And so I immediately did all I can to save his life, stabilize him, get him admitted, had him admitted to the intensive care unit. And I followed this young man. Normally, I don't follow patients throughout, but I was pretty amazed by Jacob. And I've heard about him locally. He was one of the star football players. And so I wanted to see a great outcome here. And unfortunately, Jacob suffered a traumatic brain injury. And he never regained his star ability that he once had. Not only did he not regain his star ability, he decompensated to that of a toddler. He was once a rising, promising football player, and now he had a permanent state of a child. He had to be fed. He had to be changed when his undergarments became soiled. He had to be bathed. He was not what he once was known to be. And this is something that changes the dynamics, not only for Jacob's life, but his family. I mean, to see his mother have to go back to taking care of Jacob again. I mean, it was heart-wrenching, it was heartbreaking. And this is what happened to Ali. This is exactly what happened to Ali, to Junior Seau, to some of the sports players that we see. Brett Favre recently mentioned that he is suffering some forgetfulness. This is what happened. So now the question again becomes, as a parent, do you allow your child to play sports? Ali took a lot of blows to the head, and a repetitive blows to the head over a long period of time manifested into his Parkinson's and his issues that he faced. Whereas Jacob took one severe blow, one major blow going through that windshield, and you could see his manifested immediately into the state that Jacob was in. You got to think of the brain like a bowl of Jello. You can shake, shimmy Jello around, and whether it's your cherry's your favorite flavor or blueberry or strawberry, you can shake that Jello around in the bowl. But you notice once you shake it around in the bowl, the Jello remains formed, but it now shifts. And that's what happened with the brain with traumatic head-to-head collisions. It hits inside the brain, inside the skull. It shifts around. It remained in its form, but now it's not lined up the way that it used to be. And these little nerve endings and neurons start to hemorrhage a little bit inside the brain, little hemorrhage. And over time, that accumulation now leads to deterioration of the brain activity later down the road, which leads to CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, dementia, Alzheimer's, and plus or minus Parkinson's. And some of the signs of CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, again, memory loss, confusion, depression, impulse control, Parkinson's, agitation, and unfortunately, suicide. As a parent, do I allow my child to play sports? You must monitor them and protect them. Be careful of head injuries and brain injuries. And furthermore, the NFL has taken action, and I'm proud that they have. I love the sport. Will always remain a fan. I'm glad that they're doing things to evaluate patients on the sidelines when there's head-to-head collisions to make sure they don't have a concussion. I'm glad that they're looking into helmet safety to make sure that the helmet is insulated and cushioned as much as possible to dampen the blow from a head-to-head collision. I'm happy that they are motivating and pushing and encouraging the officials to call fouls at any time that there is a head-to-head collision. These are all the steps that the NFL is taking. Because, again, as a parent, do I allow my child to play sports that may lead to head-to-head trauma or injury? Here are some tips to share with you that I think are important that you must make sure that if you are like me, who's grappling with back and forth, allowing your child to play or not play, always make sure that you follow these things, these sort of tips right here. Don't let them play any sport without them protecting their heads. Football, boxing, even if they're out bike riding, any potential chance of a head-to-head injury on a four-wheeler or ATV, make sure that they have their head protection on. Keep in mind, the brain is like the engine of the body. You can always paint the car, you can always change the tires, but it's so difficult once that engine stops functioning correctly. So make sure you protect the head. If you do suffer, or if there is a concussion, make sure that your child is evaluated appropriately. The last thing you want a child or a person who plays sports to do is to get back on that field after a head injury, because what happens is that that brain is not healed. It just suffered an injury, and now there's a potential chance of another injury. So imagine trying to play on a sprained ankle. The ankle is swollen, it hurts, and you go back out and play again, and you re-injure that ankle. Now you have magnified the problem. The same sort of philosophy exists for a person with a concussion. If they get out and play again and had a previous concussion and now playing, then their chances of a repeat injury, having another concussion on top of that concussion, magnifies exponentially the severity of the outcome. So make sure that you have your child, or if it's you, monitored to make sure that you don't get back out there too soon. I see athletes become violent from these head injuries. They can't recall their names, they can't recall their state they're in, and it's demoralizing for all that they've done, for all, as hard as their work, to see them reach this point. As a parent, do I allow my child to play sports? Make sure you take all the right steps in evaluating your child, your brother, your sister, because you know we all want to be around. We don't want to play these sports and these activities and not be around. And in Jacob's case, make sure you practice wearing your seatbelt while driving and not talking to yourself or anything of any sort of distraction to make sure you minimize the potential chance of an accident. So I want to share with you, this is a part of the show called, I call this Ask Dr. Samson Davis, where I answer all your questions. So this part of the show I call Ask Dr. Samson Davis, where I answer all your questions and letters. Ben writes in, my son is 14 years old. He loves football. He is going into his sophomore year. He already had two concussions. I don't want him to play the game, but he is the star player. We have gotten into huge fights. He says that football is his life. How do I protect him now and safeguard his future when all he wants to do is play football. He is not looking at the concussions and head injuries as anything serious. Please help Ben. Ben, I'm right there with you. I'm on the sideline. I am that parent. I'm cheering my son on as well, and I get it. The sad part or the unfortunate part is that our children don't realize that they're going to get older one day, and what they do today will play out years later in their life. Here's the thing, Ben, and this is what I would do. I would not stop him from playing football because he's always going to be regretting, angered, and upset if he stops playing, especially if you make him stop playing. So allow him to play, but follow the tips that I gave earlier. Make sure you monitor him while playing the game. If there's any head-to-head collision, make sure he's evaluated for a concussion. Make sure he's removed from the game. Make sure you're always wearing his helmet. Safety, safety, safety. Very important. As a parent, do I allow my child to play sports? You must monitor them, protect them, and do all the right things to ensure their safety. Please join me next time on my next podcast. Follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, drsampsondavis.com, and pick up my latest and greatest book, Living and Dying in Brick City, Stories from the Frontline of Emergency Room. And as I leave you today and part ways, always remember the words of Ali, the great poet, sting like a butterfly. As I leave you today, remember the great words of the greatest boxer and poet, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Be well.